This podcast is brought to you by Vivino. Discover and buy wines wherever you are. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of the latest episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We're counting down the days to the 4th of July, so this week's theme is independence. After all, we're an independent food radio station.
HRN is a labor of love. Staff, hosts, and listeners all share the belief that storytelling can change the world, one bite or sound bite at a time.
We take a moment to ponder our founding mothers and fathers, specifically what they were drinking during the Revolutionary War.
Rum in various combinations with beer and cider would be the order of the day.
We highlight a story of self-sufficiency on the island of Vieques, Puerto Rico.
The biggest thing we did was to start a lot of fermented vegetables because we knew the first thing to go would be refrigerator trucks coming to the island.
And we examine the challenges facing independent grocery stores across the U.S.
The struggle is real, but the future looks bright.
Tune in to this week's episode of Meat and Three, available at heritageradionetwork.org and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Allie Kane. Welcome to In the Sauce, a new podcast about building food brands. We live in a culture that romanticizes entrepreneurship and the hustle. But what I really want to hear are the stories from the trek uphill. I want the stories about the bruises and the scrapes we all get as we build our businesses. I want to hear about the roads that led to nowhere and the lessons learned along the way. And I want advice in real time. This is the story of Haven's Kitchen Sauces, but it's also the story of every growing brand, because we're all in the sauce. Today, I'm speaking with Alex Steichleather, a graphic designer who, after 4 years at the Oracle, that is Pentagram, is now successfully freelancing. I met Alex while giving a farmer's market tour and asked her to design our sauce pouches, holding on to the essence of the Haven's logo that we designed in 2010, but updating it and making it more packaged good friendly. Just FYI, I cried at her first presentation. It was that good. Hi, Alex.
Hi. So
I guess my first question is always like, did you always want to be an artist? Did you know what graphic design was? Did you grow up in like an artsy environment?
excuse me. No, I was always very creative growing up, but I didn't ever think of being an artist, and I definitely didn't know what graphic design was. I remember I always was, I had creative hobbies. I was more of like a doodler. I was never doing like art.
Right.
But I was very into computer graphics without even really realizing
it. Oh, that's cool.
I can't remember exactly how I discovered Photoshop, but I think it was just available at a school I was at.
Right.
And so I would play in that all the time. And I remember I like asked for like a scanner for Christmas. So I love things like that, but I still like didn't know what graphic design was and
right.
didn't put together that that could be a job. And actually I got into design on accident. When I was applying for colleges, I kind of just applied to all these different random liberal arts schools.
Right.
And I went to College of Santa Fe in New Mexico for 2 years and actually joined as a film major.
Interesting.
I don't know. And I was put into an intro to design class just on accident.
Right.
And it was the first time the program was starting there. And as I was taking those classes, I was like, oh, this makes way more sense.
Right.
It's like artistic and creative and visual, but it's also like problem solving. And so
right.
I switched majors and started doing graphic design there. And then actually that school went bankrupt.
Yeah, that I read that. Like, that's so sad.
Yeah.
So what did they you just got a letter like, sorry, there will be no class
mm-hmm.
come September.
They were like, everyone should transfer because we just won't be here.
To find out where to transfer.
Yeah. And I remember like realizing that and being like, oh man, I don't want to go through this process again.
Right.
And everybody was moving to New York. And so I was like, all right, me too. Sign
wow.
me up. And a bunch of us, applied to the School of Visual Arts. And so I ended up being a transfer student there. And they have a great graphic design program.
Yeah, that's kind of, I feel like, the Mac Daddy.
Yeah. And like all the teachers are working designers. Mm-hmm. And there was one teacher there named Paul Sayre, who at the time was like my favorite. I didn't know a lot of graphic designers, but I knew him. And his work was just so clever and kind of illustrative. And I just thought he was the best. And I was like, that it will be the class that I get into. And I forced my way into his class.
Awesome.
Yeah, he did not like have any open space, and a bunch of people were trying to get in. Right. And he was like, everybody get out if you're not in my class. And I just stayed and kept going back
for
weeks.
You just didn't move.
Oh yeah. My God, and I was like, hi, I'd like to be in your class. And he was like, no. And I was like, okay, see you next week. And I just kept coming back and doing the assignments. Yeah. And he is actually married to Emily Oberman, who is a Pentagram partner.
Got it.
And so I ended up forcing my way into an internship with Paul Sayre as well.
Wow.
And
well, if that's not like a lesson in, you know, stick-to-itiveness,
yeah,
I don't know what it is. Exactly.
So I ended up interning for him, and we worked on a project for Emily Oberman, just like a light branding logo ideas project while she was still at Number 17, her old design studio.
Right.
And then she liked stuff that I had done and wanted to talk to me. And right when I graduated, she had moved on to Pentagram, and we connected there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I ended up going, I kind of like was coming in for a few months, like not really like hired, but kind of like working. And was kind
well, it sounds like that's
happening.
A trend in your life. A
yeah,
bit.
I know. Right. Everything is like happy accidents that I'm just kind of like saying yes to and going
there
with the flow
no
with.
Accidents.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you were growing up, were there any brands that you like, that resonated with you or that you loved or that you just kind of connected with, but you didn't know necessarily that they were brands?
Oh,
like
God,
I look
I'm
back
sure
and I have these things that I feel very like visceral feelings about, you know, like Lucky Charms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barbie.
Yeah.
You know? And I, it wasn't that I really loved the dolls as much as there was something about the big B and like the way it was written. And I think it took me, I didn't know for a long time that that was conscious.
Yeah.
You know, that that was someone thinking, how do we take what this is and tell the story?
Yeah.
So did you have any of those that
I know,
you remember?
I'm trying to think. I'm sure like if I came across them, there would be like so many. It's almost like smells or something.
Right. Did you learn, did you know what that was when you started that first class in Santa Fe? Like, was that the problem solving thing that you're talking about?
I remember when I started the class in Santa Fe, it was framed as this like, we're visual storytellers. And that's something I didn't like understand.
What does that mean? Right.
I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
but now
it makes sense. And it's funny about like with graphic design, it's communication design, and it is trying to convey a story or a mission or a feeling, but almost in like an invisible way.
Yeah.
Like the Barbie thing.
Right.
And people are like attracted to these different like products or things, but like they don't really know why.
Do you know what I read? Did you read Brand Thinking by Debbie Millman?
Mm-mm.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Everyone
she's
just
amazing.
She just should read that book if you don't already listen to Design Matters. But she was talking to someone, or she was interviewing someone, and I read that Santa Claus in the United States was always portrayed in green until one year that Coca-Cola did an ad with Santa in it. And of course he was in like the Coca-Cola colors. And now Santa's like red and white.
That's
because
so funny.
Of Coke.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really like changed, you know, sort of our identity, I think, which is sort of fascinating. So I'd like to just hear a little bit, what do you think like were like the things that you kind of got out of SVA and then the things that you kind of got out of Pentagram? Like if you had to sort of qualify them.
I guess SVA, it was more like playtime, you know, you could kind of do whatever you wanted, which at the time, I didn't realize that that's what I could do.
Right.
I'm very much like, well, what's the right answer? What's the wrong answer?
Right.
It's like, well, there is no right answer. I'm like, right, but what is it?
Right. Well, that's why you probably went into this on this side of things rather than like an artist.
Totally.
Side of things,
I mean,
right?
Well, I think there's like with art, it's kind of like there's free flowing and you're just kind of like painting whatever you feel. And I have trouble with that. I'm like, can you just give me an assignment and tell me what to draw and I will execute that for you? Which is very much like designer side.
Right.
But so at SVA, I definitely stressed myself out more and didn't take advantage of the fact that I could like do what I wanted to do.
Right. Did they give you like little mini case studies?
Oh, almost, totally.
Where
yeah.
they're like, this brand needs a new box.
Mm-hmm. Or... Yeah. So there are different classes. There was like basic graphic design class, and there would be like a packaging class or mm-hmm. a typography class or what. There are so many. And yeah, you would get assignments that were like mini briefs that were kind of real life esque, but you were right. able to be a bit more experimental.
Like when you just. Because this, I find this really interesting. Because yeah. I think in another life, if I were more talented, mm-hmm. I would want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know my brain well enough mm-hmm. that, like, I'm good at identifying kind of what I like.
Yes.
But I could never execute it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the case with, like, most things.
Yeah.
That's why I opened a cooking school instead of becoming a chef.
Yeah.
You know? Because
yeah.
I just want to be around all the talent, yeah. basically. But in a brief, would they say, like, this is what they're trying to do and this is the problem they're trying to solve, or like this is the kind of font they like what kind yeah. of brief would
well,
you
get? I'm trying to think of if there was like a specific example that comes to me. And I remember in my like basic design classes it was way more open. It was it would be like, okay, here is a word and you just create a book based
right.
off the word.
Oh, wow.
That's like 50 pages or something.
Oh my gosh.
So it's very vague and broad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you tell me more of like,
right.
what to do? And so I would struggle, like the less parameters is worse for me.
Right.
But some people can thrive on that.
Right.
So it was a bit more like playtime experimental at SVA. Mm-hmm. And then at Pentagram, it definitely became more like real world.
Right.
Specific.
And is a pentagram experience similar to kind of our experience where, you know, I came in and I sort of described what we were doing and then you kind of said, I sent you these things I liked and you mm-hmm. sort of were able to reduce it into what I was trying to say?
Yeah. Well, like with Haven's Kitchen Sauces, you mm-hmm. already had the Haven's Kitchen brand.
Right.
So there's kind of two, I mean, there's so many directions design can go in, but it's different than if we're just given a like, this is an idea, and
right.
I have no brand at all,
right.
and these are kind of the things that I want it to be about,
right.
and some people don't even know
yeah,
what they
like.
You have very specific taste,
yes.
and you were able to give
so
me
So it turns out I was a good client
you
for
were.
You, because I was able to be like, I like this,
yes.
and I like that. Right.
Yeah, you were like, here's my brand, here are the things I like.
Right.
We're making sauce, like,
right.
put it together.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a different process because you have some of the ingredients as opposed to starting from scratch with
right.
a brand. So yeah, with Haven's Kitchen Sauces, like you have the brand, you have the logo, you have the black and white, you've got like the clear typography,
mm-hmm.
and then you also like, you know, kind of like handwriting different things
right.
and also different types of illustration.
Right.
And I'm kind of was able to see from all those different assets, like different directions.
It was so cool.
Guys, when Allie cried at my presentation, you just like raised the bar. I mean,
now if people don't cry, you're like, shit.
Which is every time. That's very unusual.
No, I want to get to it. I want to take a little break
mm-hmm.
and then sort of get to the process with us because
yeah.
I do think it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just think the whole process full stop is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people call Havens and they're like, can you help us, you know, either come up with a fast casual blah blah
mm-hmm.
a concept or and I'm always sort of amazed that people want to start things that they don't have already like an emotional connection to.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I understand that people are starting things all the time and they might not have a design vision for
mm-hmm.
it, but they know exactly what their product is.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of curious about, well, obviously I want to talk about the process with us, but
mm-hmm.
I guess also when we get back from the break,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about sort of how you start from scratch with
mm-hmm.
someone who doesn't know what they like, but they just kind of have this idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a little break and we'll be back to talk about all of it.
You're visiting the in-laws this weekend. They've asked you to bring wine.
You need a bottle that says, I'm laid back enough that I didn't think about this choice for hours. But also, I've graduated from Two Buck Chuck, proving I can provide for your daughter and our future children. Where to go from here? Just ask Vivino. Vivino knows feeling pressured in the wine aisle can sour the whole experience. But with the largest wine inventory, Vivino gives you the best price on personalized picks based on your taste profile, then ships them right to your door. Scan wines, compare reviews, save your favorites, and even get unlimited free shipping with Vivino Premium, plus a free 30-day trial. So, when that next visit rolls around, you know exactly what that dry Alsatian Riesling says about your commitment to your mother-in-law's Sunday roast. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up. Vivino.
I'm Moxie Rosenblum. My dad, Harry Rosenblum, hosts Feast Your Ears on Heritage Radio Network. Right now, HRN is having a summer membership drive. Becoming a member is so easy, and you'll help support shows like my dad's. You can sign up for a one-time donation or become a monthly sustaining member by visiting heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Let's keep food radio on the airwaves this summer.
That was really cute. I'm back with Alex Steichleather, the amazing graphic designer who created our sauce pouches. And we're talking all about art and branding and design. So let's talk about our, relationship first, because I think it'll lead to sort of how other CPG companies can kind of get the best out of working with a freelance graphic designer, because there is, you know, there's a scope of work. And I think, you know, part of what I want to do here is help other companies that are starting like mine really kind of get the most out of the different relationships that they have, whether that's the distributor, the co-packer, the designer, the marketing person, whatever it is. But with us, can you just tell people kind of what the process was? So we met at the garden or at the farmer's market.
Met at the farmer's market tour. I don't even really remember how we started talking about it.
I think I was like, what do you do?
And graphic designer. Oh, making a thing. And then you contacted me and I came into Haven Kitchen, which I had never been to before. Love the space.
Good.
I think like at the time, I mean, you were pretty like clear and on your way. Oh no, the packaging wasn't totally decided yet, actually. You knew you wanted to use the pouches, but at the time we were talking about like maybe a sleeve or something. But that would
actually, way this is back. This is funny because like this is how little I knew about like cost. I wanted to have a clear pouch and I wanted to have like a cardboard, sort of white cardboard thing around it. And then inside of another box, which now I like, at myself back like a year ago or whatever it was, because I'm just adding up like the cents that each pouch would have cost had I done that. But basically, pretty much early on in our process, you just design. We just figured that like we were going to make labels and put them on pouches. Pretty much because we are actually going into a printed pouch. But because we weren't sure that this was even an idea that was going to work. And so we wanted to spend as little money as possible on packaging. And so,
and then also showcasing the product was a huge part of it.
That was important.
And something about these pouches was the fact that you'd be able to see the sauce, and the sauces were thankfully these beautiful, vibrant colors. And the fact that Haven's Kitchen is like a black and white color palette, and then you have these beautiful, like natural colors of the actual sauce, it was kind of this, you know, perfect match. So that part was kind of solved.
You made the pouches look like mini versions of the actual physical space, because we have those clear walls and the black and white, and then all the color comes from the food. So did you say like send me things you like or
what? Well, I came in and met with you and saw the space and like learned about what Haven's was about, learned about like what the sauces were about and what you guys were trying to achieve with that. And then we have these clear pouches that were going to be a part of it because showing the product was the main thing. And then, yeah, I was like, you know, if you have, like, if you know, if you have things that you like send them to me and that'll just like give me a vibe.
Right.
I don't necessarily, I try to do that with everybody just so I get a sense of like,
have you ever taste. Had anyone just send you like really ugly, just unappealing, like bad taste? Just
no,
like,
no, nothing, not yet. I'm sure it'll happen. I have had people send me nothing because they just right. like don't really know.
Yeah.
And then what I try to do is kind of, you know, take what is given to me and also do research on my own. And then, sometimes like with you, I didn't really have to do a round of just like, is this the vibe you like?
Right.
Cause it was pretty clear.
Right.
But with other people, I can be like, okay, well, how's this direction? Do you like this? Do you like that? And then I can kind of get a sense of like,
it's a lot like cooking. I mean, I think so much of this, like, I think as a founder, you really have to trust yourself. Even if design is not your thing, mm-hmm. you do know what you like
yeah.
to look at. You mm-hmm. do. If you get to choose things in front of you, you could, you know, you can say, I'm responding to this and mm-hmm. I'm not responding to
yeah.
that. It's the same with food. Like
yeah.
people are like, I don't know. You
yeah.
know? But you do.
Yeah.
You know, if you sit with yourself enough, you know, I don't actually like spicy things or mm-hmm. I really like smoky flavor.
Yeah.
You know?
And I feel like even, you know, if people are able to kind of look at things, a lot of people just look at things and they're like, well, I like that, but I don't really know why.
Right.
But then I'm able to kind of put together yeah. if there's like four things that they like, I can be like, okay, well, obviously they're really, you know, just distilling it down. Like yellow is obviously their right. favorite color.
Well, that's what you did. That mm-hmm. was why I cried at the presentation because you took, I kind of just like threw up everything that I liked. We knew we wanted to have the logo on it, obviously.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. we knew we just needed to like refresh it a mm-hmm. little bit. And I sent you basically all of these things mm-hmm. that I responded to and I didn't really hold back.
Yeah.
And then you took them. Do you remember this?
I do. Yeah.
And you put them all in a grid and then you would click to the next slide mm-hmm. and 10 of them would pop out because they had something in common
mm-hmm.
and then four of them would pop out on the, like,
yeah,
is that
every
a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, every page, like I took everything that Ellie gave me and then each page I kind of, would distill them down into groups. So there were lots of, you know, everything like looked very good together because it was all very specific.
It was
look.
Amazing.
Yeah. But everything is like very black and white and very neutral. And some things had illustration and some things had handwriting. And so I kind of broke them out into those different
some things
categories.
Were like a bold, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Kind of playful.
Yes.
And then you made four or five.
I presented six yeah. different. I just took a peek at that presentation before I came.
I look at it all the time.
Yeah.
Like just to make myself smile.
I did six different directions that all had the same tone, but just kind of like leaned in different
right.
Directions. One had illustrations on it. One was handwriting.
Yep.
And then
I still love all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look back and I mean, eventually I'd like to use all of them for something because each one of them represents this like little corner of my mm-hmm. mind that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go with every corner of your mind.
Yeah.
You kind of have to choose
yeah.
a corner. So what do you do with someone who is like, I don't know.
Well, even if they don't know about visuals, that's fine because that's why they're hiring somebody else.
Right.
So as long as they have a clear idea of, you know, the product or company they're trying to create and what kind of the mission statement about that is
right.
or, you know, what they're trying to achieve with that, even that will help dictate a visual style.
Right.
I'm trying to think, like, the wing is mm-hmm. something
yeah.
that I...
Well, let's talk about that.
Because yeah.
they've been rather successful.
Yes.
And their branding, I mean, their branding is amazing.
Yeah. So the wing is a New York-based women's... it's kind of become a co-working space, but it's an event space and it's a space for just women to come and network and get to know each other. And when I was at Pentagram, I was on the team that did the branding for that. And they came to us at Pentagram and they had a different name and
right.
they had a different, they had picked like some colors that were different than it is now. And it was mostly about, this is just a place where it between point A and point mm-hmm. B. So you don't have to, you know,
right.
tweeze your eyebrows in a Starbucks
right.
and, you know, that's kind of was the basis of it all.
And it was, I mean, because I met them early on too, and it was...
Well, that's where we met. That was the Farmer's Market tour.
Oh, that's right. It was the tour. That's right. Of course.
It was an event at the Wing.
Right. It was an event at the Wing.
Yeah.
But this was all before the election.
Yes.
So there wasn't almost that, you know, that like call to arms piece of it.
Yes.
But it still works with that.
Yeah. So. Well, when we were... So, well, Audrey Gelman... who founded, one of the co-founders of The Wing, she has very good taste and was also able to provide a lot of visuals.
Right.
So we were able to go off of a lot of what she provided, but we were looking at, you know, vintage like 70s women's protest posters to kind of help dictate maybe a direction where the type would go. And we were looking at just like all these different, you know, types of women. And that also kind of led into the typography, and the logo has all these different like W's that we use everywhere, which kind of reflects like the multifaceted woman.
Yeah, and it does.
Yeah. So that's kind of an example of, I guess, how visuals can go into like the mission of it. And then luckily, it was like a flexible enough identity for when it became like post-election.
Right.
It was still able to, it wasn't locked into this like point A, point B.
Right. No, it's very, I mean, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. I happen to think that branding means a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a world that is brandless.
Even
in like the grocery store, we talk about all the time how there's definitely going to be more private label grocery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to have, if you have a brand that's, you know, if we have a sauce, let's say that's $7.99 and there's an unbranded one that's $4.99, mm-hmm. not only do we have to be better, but we have to be like significantly better.
Yeah.
Right. But I do think that there's always going to be a world that where people just have a brand love, you know, it's their tribe. It gives them, you know, this feeling that's like bigger than the product itself.
Yeah.
And I feel like what you do, which is really cool, is you help companies create that for their people. So, I mean, what would you say if a brand is just starting out and they don't necessarily have a full on identity, like what are the five things or the three things or whatever, before they come to you and say, make me a logo and make me a font and help me. What do you want them to figure out?
Well, I actually think that, like come to a designer earlier.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of people, a lot of people, I feel like they've got this idea and they want to start this new brand and they're doing all the different things that need to be, I mean, I don't know, that's so beyond me, but they're doing all that stuff and then they're like, okay, we want to launch and we need to launch in like a month, so we need a designer and can you give us our logo in like a week? Like, what do you mean it's going to take longer? And it becomes this thing where it becomes very rushed. And I also like understand that startups like have low budgets and there's nothing wrong with that, but then when it becomes this crazy like rushed like fast thing, but there's also like no money involved and whatever, it becomes like kind of chaos. So I think that there is having a designer helping out earlier on, you guys can kind of grow together in a way.
That's great. Because
things aren't always figured out and things are always changing even at the last minute. When you're about to launch and you get the design sometimes helps you see, oh, that's actually, we don't want like this name looks crazy when it's on the box or whatever. And that can help dictate evolution within the brand.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a logo before I had a business. Like I literally way back in 2009, I knew I wanted something that was the Haven's Kitchen. I knew I wanted it to look like that. And I wasn't sure exactly what it was yet. Because I'm so visual, you know, cause like, that resonates with me. So I think that's a great piece of advice. Go like get the to a designer earlier. And in terms of like what you can expect, I mean, I know everyone's different, but what is the general sort of scope? Like what are you giving people?
Well, I try to figure that out. I mean, it varies with every client and every job, and I try to figure that out because sometimes they just don't even, the person that's hiring me or whoever doesn't even know. I'll be like, so what are you like looking for? And they're like,
not sure. Right.
Right. Branding. Right. Okay. So then I'll try to, depending on what it is, I try to make a list and be like, would you like these things?
Right.
Do you need these things branded?
Right.
Because it could be more than just a logo. I mean, everybody's obsessed with social stuff now. And
Right. Do you do social stuff too?
I try not to, but right. Sometimes people need an example of what an Instagram will look like.
Right.
But whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like it's not that important. If people need packaging, what does that even mean? Packaging can be such an experience, and
it should be.
Yeah. And then people don't think about, you're counting the cost of what would this cardboard sleeve be on the pouch and stuff. So there's so much exploration that has to go into things too, and research. And I don't think people realize how much time actually goes into
packaging.
Not just packaging, just the design process takes time.
Yes.
I think people think you're on a computer. Just press the buttons.
The logo.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
No, that's, yeah. I mean, it's so true. Again, going back to brand thinking, I really feel she also told a story about Coke, how they wanted their bottles to be so iconic that even when they were broken on the street, people knew it was a Coke bottle, And I think about that with the pouches. Mm-hmm. If you saw a pouch, have you gotten a lot of calls?
People have contacted me about the pouch. Yeah. For sure.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
So, we only have a couple minutes left, but this is a very big question and I know you don't like open-ended, so I can narrow it down for you, but what does branding ultimately mean to you? And how do you feel about helping, companies really can live or die by their branding?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm curious about your thoughts about it. And if you feel if you had known when you were little that this is what you'd be doing, how you'd feel about it.
Yeah.
And what you dream about it. And what you think happens after you die.
Branding is very, very, very important. And like I said before, it is also kind of invisible, not always, but I don't think people realize how every single sign you look at that directs you to anything. That's it's not branding, but it's a designed, it's graphic design. I just lost my train of thought.
No, I mean,
street
I think,
signs.
No, it's true because people, we walk through this world and everything, someone's made a choice.
Yes.
Even the stop sign, someone made a choice.
Yes.
I don't know who.
I don't know either. There's actually a funny video that's a joke about the designing the stop sign.
What it would look like in another font.
Or the client being it has to appeal to men and women. So make it blue and pink. I don't know, something
that's
like that.
That's actually very funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, but red,
it
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want people to be able to find you if they need you. So tell me how people can find you if they need graphic design help.
Okay. My website is alexstikeleather.com.
Which is a great name.
Yeah. Which people misspell often.
Yes. Because I thought it was Strike Leather.
Yeah. A lot of people think it's Strike. It's Stike.
Yes.
I guess my Instagram is at Chick Fried Stike.
Yes. Where did that come from?
Well, when I was first making a Twitter way back when, I just was trying to do a pun on my name and there weren't enough characters to write Chicken Fried Stike. So it became Chick.
That's it. All right.
Yeah. I'm also a vegetarian, so I don't even really know what it is.
And last question.
Yes.
Your favorite types of companies to work with and why?
I guess companies that this is so generic, I guess, but companies that want to do good.
Right.
I know, no matter how big or small, I think Haven's Kitchen Sauces is doing good.
Yeah,
Haven's Kitchen does good.
Thank you.
You're trying to educate people about food and,
Get them cooking.
Yep. I mean, ever since that farmer's market tour, when you taught me you could eat the stalk of a broccoli, I eat broccoli stalks all the time.
Well, I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. And they're delicious.
They are.
Yeah. I almost like it more than broccoli tops at this point.
Yeah. No, it's awesome to hear. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note.
Everybody go buy broccoli.
And just as a little side note, the reason why this is a shorter podcast than usual for me is because I was late coming from the fancy food show, which for all you CPG, new brands, emerging brands, et cetera, these trade shows will knock you on your feet. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go home and take a bath and go to sleep.
Do it.
So thank you, David, for being understanding about me being late, for being the best engineer. Alex, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing all of your everythings. And I will be, I guess I always say, see you next time, but it's not really, but you'll hear me next time on In the Sauce.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.